How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Sixer Sense podcast. It's Chris here. No Lucas this week. He's out of town on business, but I have with me someone that I'm very excited to talk to, Ben Pfeiffer. Ben, why don't we start? Why don't you just give the audience your background, let them, you know, where they can follow you, that kind of stuff, just so they know where you're coming from.
Sure. Yeah. My name's Ben. You can follow me on Twitter at BJPF _ where all my stuff is. I write, make videos, stuff on NBA draft. I've been doing draft scouting and basketball content for a long time now. That's about it, I'd say. Not too much else.
Yeah, no, I would recommend that everyone listening to this podcast go and follow Ben. He does some really good work, especially on the draft, like he says. That's what we're going to be talking about today, because as of this recording, the Sixers are 5-15. It's been a bit of a wonky season. We've kind of been dancing around the Cooper flag of it all here on the pod for the past few weeks. I think in an ideal world, the Sixers team can break out of this funk and get healthy and win some games. But I think we're long enough into the year to where we at least need to talk about some potential draft outcomes. It'll be an interesting conversation, I'll say. We'll just run through the games here quickly just to get everyone caught up. We're recording, obviously, on Thursday, December 5th. It's been a better week for Philly compared to other weeks. They've won two of the last three games here that we're going to go through quickly. 111-96 over Detroit, 110-104 over Charlotte, and then they lost to the Orlando Magic the other night in a pretty close game, despite missing, obviously, Joel Embiid and Paul George on the second night of a back-to-back. It's been a positive week. I think McCain has kind of turned it around after some off nights. Hasn't been the best Maxey performance, but we've seen two games from Paul George now where he's looked about as good as he's looked all season. But that leads us to where we're going to talk about here, Ben. They're 5-15. We still don't really know what's going on with Joel Embiid. He's out for Friday's game with left knee injury management, which has been the line for all but four games so far this season. Yeah. It seems pretty clear from the reporting that I don't think even the Sixers really know what's going on with Joel. I don't know if Joel knows what's going on with Joel. There seems to be some optimism that long-term this is a manageable issue, but we're 20 games into the season and he's played in four of them and we don't really have a concrete timeline. So what's your read on this situation? Is it time where we should start talking about pulling the plug? Paul George and Tyrese have both missed a lot of time this year as well. Do you think it's worth like really looking into the top of the draft? Guys like Cooper Flagg, Ace Bailey, is that where we're at right now?
It's probably worth at least thinking about. I mean, the Sixers have been better recently. What, like they're like, I was 18th in including the last net rating over the last 2 weeks. That's better than they were before, I guess. That's just a starting point. I feel like this whole project with bringing in Paul George and Embiid, like it was always volatile. Like we kind of, or I feel like there always should have been a thought that this could implode. Probably not like as soon and as loudly as it has this year. I'm not really sure we expected that. I would guess they probably play themselves out of like the high lottery odds, but you know, you never know with how the lottery with how the lottery is, and it certainly wouldn't shock me to see, you know, just get given Embiid and Paul George's history, those guys not being reliable. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like there's just only so much you can really talk about with the Sixers season. Like, it's hard to win when you're missing your MVP level guy and another All-Star level guy and another All-Star level guy mm-hmm. has missed games, and like your best player consistently is your mid-teens rookie. Like, it's yeah. tough. But I certainly think it's probably not a bad idea to start looking, or you know, start thinking about this upcoming year, especially just because this is such a strong class. That even if they get a pick in, you know, the mid late lottery, that could be a really high level talent that could help them for the short term, maybe, or just, you know, ideally, I think you probably just want to try to build for whatever your future is going to look like, whether that's with or without Joel. Just try to bake in contingency plans as much as you can, because I think there's just a level of, I don't know.
Yeah. It certainly has gotten to the point where I think a lot of Sixer fans are kind of dreading the possibility of something along the lines of Joel Embiid is going to be out indefinitely. That certainly feels like it's in the cards here at this point, or some report of that nature. We really don't know. He could be back on this weekend. So
it seems like literally up in the air. Ever knows. Like,
Yeah, it's so strange because a lot of the reporting going into the preseason was, you know, that Joel is in the best shape of his career. He's committed to the rest plan and they're going to keep him healthy. And it's hard to build in rest for a guy who's just not ever healthy. So that whole plan has already gone to the wayside. Like you said, there was always risk with building around Joel and Paul George, but this was supposed to be a season that folks were optimistic about, and there was a lot of talk about the Sixers maybe challenging Boston in the East, at least being like the clear number two, and that's just clearly not gonna happen this season at this point. I would be extremely shocked. At least, you
know, silver lining, there's what, like five Eastern Conference teams that I think are like, you know what, it's like Boston, Orlando, New York, Milwaukee. Those are really like the only teams.
Yeah.
Oh,
Orlando,
like the only teams that I think are really like locked in playoff teams. So there's a lot, there's plenty of room for the Sixers to make the playoffs this year. But so still, it's certainly not what you wanted for a team with title hopes.
That's the thing, is Philly right now is 2.5 games out of the play-in tournament, which is just hilarious. Like, that's the state of the East right now. So really, the window is there to still make the playoffs. You probably bet that they do, just with how bad these other teams are, like Charlotte, Toronto, Detroit. These are all teams that are going to be really going hard after Cooper Flagg here at some point, especially Toronto and Charlotte. And Philly's goal right now still is to make the playoffs. They aren't pulling the plug yet. Whether they should or not, obviously, is up for debate. But what do you think that would exactly look like, Ben? Do you think that's just straight up Joel is done for the season indefinitely, like that kind of thing would push them in that direction? Obviously, that's Paul is now.
That's probably the only way.
Yeah.
I'm sure as long as there's a breath of a hope that Embiid is going to be okay for like the play. I mean, this is the whole plan, right? It's like, we don't care how much we play. We don't care about the regular season. As long as we can make it to the playoffs and have Joel healthy, we'll give it a shot. So I would guess is, unless there's like a, so yeah, he's not playing. And he certainly did not look particularly good in the few games he did play this year. Like, definitely did not look like himself or even close to that level of dominance that we saw just last year. I mean,
yeah, he had that 31-point game against Memphis where it looked like he was maybe turning a corner, and then we just haven't seen him since. So
right,
that's
that was his last game, wasn't that? That's crazy.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. So yeah, let's kind of shift to the draft stuff, Ben. Obviously, Cooper Flagg is the top of, you know, the talk of the town. He's number one on, I think, every draft board at this point. There's been some debate in certain circles, you know, that maybe he's not the most like aesthetically awesome. I mean, he's obviously the number one pick. Like, I think it's pretty clear at this point. This is, like you said, a very loaded draft class. Dylan Harper looks really, really good at Rutgers right now, but Cooper's going to be the number one pick.
Yeah.
So just hypothetically, if Philly bottoms out, they win the lottery. Theoretically, you're going into next season with Joel Embiid, Cooper Flagg, Paul George, Tyrese Maxey, and Jared McCain as your starting five. Do you think that is like, okay, the Sixers are maybe actually going to be in the championship conversation this year? Or do you think, okay, now is when you trade Joel, maybe you try to trade Paul George, and you're trying to build around Cooper and Maxey and McCain? What do you think?
I think my read on that would be more like a really good foundation for whatever's next. I just have a lot of trouble believing that this like current Sixers team is going to win a title, given all of like the kind of reasons to doubt it. Like, it's like I've been burned by this team enough at this point to kind of believe that they'll stay healthy in the playoffs and all this stuff. But I think getting a player like Flagg, I mean, gives you a chance, someone who I think will be a good NBA player from the second he steps on the floor and be able to contribute to high level winning basketball. But also someone who obviously down the line, as he develops, can be your, you know, top five level guy who can potentially take over. So, I mean, it would just be a dream for them to actually get Cooper Flagg. Because, yeah, I do think he'd be uniquely good at fitting in right now as like a spacer and a cutter and a defensive monster. And then as he develops and matures again, like super young, as it's been beaten to death on every broadcast, like, only 17 still, yeah. And is one of the better players in college basketball. Like, it's certainly very impressive what he's doing. No one's denying that. And yeah, I do think he's the kind of guy who like comes in and changes the fabric of your franchise. And obviously I think that would look more different for Philly than it would for almost any other team picking that high, aside from, I don't know, like the Pelicans maybe. I guess kind of in a similar situation with a constantly injury prone star and just a terrible luck all around. Yeah, I think Cooper, like, I think if they were to land Cooper, the Sixers would certainly still try to go all in and win the title next year. Whether or not that's like the smart idea, that's certainly what would happen, I think.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, like you said, Cooper is going to be very good right away, even with how young he is. It's interesting because I think if I give you the four starters that I just gave you of Joel, Paul George, Tyrese, and Jeremy McCain, if you wanted to craft like the perfect fifth guy to slot in next to those players, it's Cooper Flagg. Like, he does everything Philly needs out of that like four spot.
That would be extremely ideal. Extremely ideal.
It's extremely ideal if they're all healthy. And that's the thing with Joel is like, when he is healthy, he is still, we think, one of the best players, at least as of last season. He was one of the two or three best players.
Based on the last consistent time we saw him healthy.
Yeah. He's an amazing player. And it's hard to, like, advocate for trade, especially when we've, like, poured so much emotionally into him in like, the Philly fandom. Like, he's been such a major part of that city for so long. It's hard to even, like, fathom the idea of trading or pivoting away from a guy like that. And yeah. I think the question of like who
just feel unlikely to me. Like, I just like don't know
who trade for him. Like,
I don't know who's gonna want him. And then if someone does want him, if Morey probably won't be able to like agree to a price on Embiid. Like, it doesn't seem likely to me.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like even with the James Harden stuff, it seems pretty clear that ownership forced Morey's hand. I don't think that would have been resolved as quickly as it was without external pressure on Daryl Morey. So, well, the guy is talented as Embiid. Even if you punt on this season, you get Cooper Flagg, you don't do that without planning to get back into things next season.
Worst
you still have Paul George.
Worst case scenario, you have a guy like Cooper Flagg, and you know that's a great foundation for if you have to hit the reset button. You got Flagg, you got Maxey, you've got McCain. Yeah. Like, that's a lot of teams would be very fortunate for that foundation.
Yeah, that is a objectively very good like foundation, and you still have Joel and Paul if they can't. Like, it's an interesting spot to be in. I don't think any Sixer fans would complain about it, but it would certainly be a very interesting and complex setup to navigate. I think like the next thing we have to hit on here, and I sort of forgot about this when I was making the agenda for what we're going to talk about, is Philly's pick is top six protected, or it goes to OKC. So they really need to either land at the top of the lottery or they need to make the playoffs. You know, if they finish 10th or whatever in the lottery standings, that pick's probably going to the Thunder, which is good for OKC. But yeah, so let's talk about some of the alternatives here, Ben. Obviously, Cooper is the dream kind of 6'9", physical, super high-level, rangy defender who can shoot and pass and do everything you want. But let's say they finish in the 2-6 range. I think the next guy that most people talk about is Ace Bailey. He's been somewhat of a hot button issue in draft circles so far. He's a very unique and polarizing player. A lot very of fun cool. to watch. Has some really insane moments. Some very insane highs and some very, very insane lows, I think is the best way to put it. I think you posted the other day as like a 9% rim. Like he's just not getting to the rim ever. It's extremely low. He is very reliant on tough jump shots, and he can make them, and he can like do some insane shooting things for a 6'10 athlete of his caliber that I think justifiably has folks like comparing him to, you know, the Paul Georges of the world, like Brandon Miller in that vein. That's been like a popular kind of box to put him in. You know, Jabari Smith Jr., I think, is another way you could go with that as a guy who shoots a lot, is tall, in theory, is a really high-level defender. I think Jabari was a better defender probably in college. But what's your read on Ace Bailey? Do you think that's like a guy that would do well in Philly?
I think he makes sense for the current fit. Because again, like a lot of my favorite prospect, like the main guys at the top of the draft are guards. And I don't think you should, I think in 99% of, you know, cases, you shouldn't let fit or perceived fit take you away from drafting an elite talent. Like, you know, Dylan Harper is obviously the thought that comes to my head. It's like you have, even though I think Harper would be fine because he's like can play the wing as well. But Ace, I think, definitely makes sense because he doesn't, or at least my vision of Ace as a really good pro is as like an off-ball scoring, movement shooting, jumbo, tall, spacing wing. I definitely don't think he's a creator, which is why I don't have him top two or three or whatever. Just really, like you said, really shaky handle, struggles to get downhill. I think it's going to be really tough for him to maintain an efficient shot profile while just doing tough shots, and he also isn't a passer really either. So it's like only so much value on the ball, but he is like a ridiculous movement shooter for a 6'9", 6'10", 18-year-old, and he can kind of attack closeouts and drive off of the catch. I think he'd have a great time spacing the floor and attacking for Embiid or Maxey or McCain or whoever is there. And I'm honestly quite optimistic about his defense. I think his defense has been pleasantly pretty awesome to start this season, at least off the ball, I think especially. He's a really good playmaker. He can use his size and his length and his movement skills to guard screens, to jump passing lanes. Not the best on-ball defender at the moment, but he's also like a skinny 18-year-old, so I'm not necessarily freaking out about that. I mean, I don't think taking him at two would be like insane. I would definitely prefer Harper, I think, but assuming you pick three, Harper and Flagg are gone, I think Ace or maybe one other guy would be my preferred selection there, honestly, just because I think a lot of the other like guards are smaller guys like that you want the ball, like Traore, Yakuchonis, VJ Edgecombe, that I'd probably rather just get that like wing spacer in there to, you know, to really just funnel as much as you can through McCain and Maxey, because it does definitely seem like those two can make a just ridiculous backcourt.
Yeah. I think the main concern really long term with McCain and Maxey is the defense. I'm not super worried about it. I mean, I understand it, but I think McCain is going to get better on that end as time goes on. But, you know, he's just too smart.
Yeah. And Maxey's also shown he can be all right too when he needs to. Like, I tend to agree with that.
Like you said, the offense is just pretty absurd with those guys. Like McCain, I think is well beyond what anybody reasonably expected out of the gate. Yeah. I was very high on him. I had him top 10. I was like, this is a guy that Philly should go after. It always made sense, but like he's just so far ahead of the game.
I was also quite high on McCain, but even I could not.
Yeah, it's like processing, and it's just out of this world. He's been amazing
right away. Like I thought he'd be like a useful NBA player, but I certainly did not think he'd be a legitimate. You know, I don't think he's going to like make the All-Star team, but he's probably been one of the 10 or so best guards in the East, which is crazy.
Yeah, no, it's pretty insane. And again, like if, in terms of hypotheticals, if we ever see Joel again, it's like he's really the perfect guard for Joel. Like in terms of playing off of each other in two-man actions and spacing the floor, like that's what you want next to Joel. And really, like the ball handling and the on-ball stuff, I think that stuff kind of was underrated at Duke. He was always pretty good at getting to the rim and creating advantages with his strength and stuff, but he's looked like a pretty legit point guard at times, and that's really not Tyrese's game. So I think you have to be pretty encouraged by that if you're a Sixers fan. And yeah, I mean, just bringing it back to Bailey, like you said, in terms of fit, if you're still trying to compete and you're trying to build a contender around Joel, a lot of the issues that you might have with Bailey if you're the Utah Jazz or Washington Wizards, I don't think really apply if you're in Philly and he can just space the floor and be the
like
fourth.
Like we kind of talked about before, they're definitely operating under a slightly different set of circumstances than your average high lottery team.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Yeah, I agree. Let's just go down the list here. You mentioned Harper. He's not the consensus number two at this point. I think, you know, Bailey, Demon, and some other guys are in that conversation, but I feel like he maybe should be the consensus number two. He's performed at that level so far.
I would guess he will be as the season continues to go on. He certainly has played like it so far. I mean,
it's early, but he leads the Big Ten in scoring right now at Rutgers. He's been pretty stellar across the board. He's been great in big matchups, had a huge game against Alabama, which is a very good defense. Like, you got to give him credit. Like you said, guard, maybe not what Sixer fans think of when they are thinking of high-level prospects right now. You have McCain and Maxey. We've talked about this great backcourt. Adding another guard to the mix doesn't seem ideal, but Harper is 6'6". Like you said, I think defensively you can probably make that work.
With offensively, Harper, guard in that he, like, you want him leading your offense, but he's 6'6", 230. Or 220 or whatever, and probably can defend the wing. He's a really nice on-ball defender. He's always been a really great on-ball defender. So I think he's a guy who you'll probably eventually be able to stick on taller players. Like, I don't know if he's ever going to be like the elite defender, but he's been a positive defender for quite a while now. And yeah, just someone who I think, given his playmaking and his scoring, and I would feel better about him going to the Sixers as well, because like he's shown that he can be a really good off-ball scalable player. Most high octane high school stars pretty much have the ball their whole lives, right? But Harper, like, he has experience playing off the ball with the FIBA U17 U19 USA teams. His high school Don Bosco or yeah, played him a decent amount off the ball, despite him being their best guy by far. So I think he's more willing and able to like attack closeouts and space the floor and cut and move than most primary initiator prospects. And I think that's really valuable. I think it's a skill, a genuine skill that obviously we see with a guy like Jared McCain, who like his ability to move off the ball and to scale up and down in usage is legitimately a skill. It's not something that's just like everyone can do, right? But we've obviously seen. But Harper is just like probably the best bet to be a star lead guard in this class at the moment. Has been absolutely absurd getting downhill, shooting a crazy percentage of the rim. I do have some worries about the finishing sustaining just because he is mostly below the rim, but just crazy strong, great touch with both hands, awesome craft and footwork, and has looked really good in terms of his first step and getting all the way to the basket. We'll see how that, you know, sustains through conference play, but right now, very encouraging. He's also an excellent passer, like 30 plus assist rate so far. Not like I wouldn't say he's in like the Luka, Trey, LeBron, Jokic, Cade, whatever level tier of passers, but I do think that next group, where you know he's not going to always hit every high level read, but tall again, the height helps him see over the defense. Great skip passer, especially can take advantage of his driving gravity to pass. And he hasn't shot the ball well this year yet, but like I'm not particularly worried about his shot long term. Like free throws are good. Always been a relatively high volume guy, like especially with how much he's touching the ball. Like I think he's going to be a good enough shooter.
Yeah, I think those are all great points. Yeah, I mean, like one thing, like Philly, they really don't have that many good passers. Like that's something this offense has lacked forever during the NBA era, is guys who can just like make an entry pass and set up the offense. Obviously, with the exception of the James Harden era, and it's worth noting that really the best Maxey has looked. I mean, last season he was very good in a different role, but some of Maxey's best moments came next to James, and I think that was a very good setup for him. So getting another guy who can create those advantages and maybe set up Maxey.
Like with Maxey, McCain, and Harper, like that's three guards who can all play on and off the ball. Whether, you know, Maxey's probably best on the ball, McCain's probably best as like a secondary guy maybe. But anyways, like they can all do all the things and play off of each other, I think. I don't think this is a situation where if you draft Harper, you've got a bunch of overlapping skill sets and too many mouths to feed. Assuming that like they get the number to pick Harper's available, you sprint to the podium and you take Harper based on how things are going right now.
I think like one of the big worries with Harper is the 3-point shot just hasn't been falling yet, but Maxey and McCain in theory are two of the best perimeter shooters in the East in the NBA. So
that, and people may remember what Maxey was like as a shooter in college.
Yeah, exactly. So you get a guy with good touch and a lot of skill. Yeah. Like
Maxey shot 29% from three in college, just for a reminder for folks. Like it's the college single season 3-point percentage is like basically meaningless.
Yeah. So I agree. I think Harper would probably be my preference as well at the moment. He seems like the pretty clear number two. Are there any other guys in that kind of 5-6 range that you think would be especially strong fits in Philly?
Yeah. I think the one other guy who I wanted to mention is Kamon Maliwash as like the Embiid contingency situation if something goes really awry. I think that's the kind of player who has been compared to Embiid in the past. I don't really know if that's – I don't think that's a very good comparison, but he's set like 7'2", 250, 18-year-old, unbelievable movement skills. And it's like if you're worried about Embiid at the time of the draft, it's like – maybe we swing on this guy with this one of the highest ceilings in the class. Like he's very raw at the moment, has not played a lot of high level basketball in his life. Like played with the NBA Global Academy and has played like within the Basketball Africa League, which is pretty low level of competition, but has been pretty great at Duke, especially on the defensive end, like scoring efficiently. He's like probably never going to be a playmaker, but he's shown some like ball handling skill and shooting skill in the past that he just hasn't really been able to do at Duke. So I think that's the other option to me that is really intriguing in the timeline where, you know, the sick, which I feel like is unlikely, but I guess within the realm of possibility where they see this guy as their potential Embiid succession plan, where even if it's not like this guy's taking over next year, it's like, we're going to get a guy who we can kind of bring along as slowly as we need to. And then if it comes to a point in a couple of years where Embiid either is just like not the same level of player, or injuries keep stacking, or you just don't want to deal with it anymore, like you can have a guy like Malawash there to,
yeah,
hopefully take over as your next defense. You know, I doubt he's ever going to be the level of scorer that Embiid is, but that's obviously that's like the highest possible bar. But yeah, Malawash, I think in terms of like has the ceiling of like a really high level defensive anchor. And he's just been a monster, like grabbing rebounds, tip-ins, alley-oops, like every single bit of 7'2", fast as hell, explosive. You really can't teach that. So yeah, I think that's one of the options that I would really like if like a certain situation kind of played out.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I think one of the problems you might run into is, I don't know how thrilled Joel would be about the message that sends.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
And like, you're obviously going to get the certain portion of the fan base who's like, why are you drafting a backup center with the fifth pick or whatever? I mean, really though, like Philly does need a good backup center. That's been a hole every year of the Embiid era.
You're not drafting a backup center in the top.
But Malawash could definitely be helpful in like a bit season.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm saying,
and you know,
I play for Embiid, like,
yeah,
you know, it's like, this guy's not going to take your place anytime soon. He's like a raw 18-year-old. Like he needs time.
Yeah.
Hopefully you can get him to buy into like, let me help, you know, best thing for this team for winning is going to be me helping this kid become the best version of himself. And, you know, it's not like, I think at their peak, like because of the kind of floor spacing that Embiid has shown he can provide, at least in spurts, like, I don't think these are two guys who you just cannot play together. And the defense, theoretically, with those two at their peaks, would just be unconscionable, even though that's kind of probably a pipe dream, but still.
Yeah. I mean, like, ideally, Joel takes it as, like, a bit of a challenge. It's like, you don't really have to worry about this guy if you...
Right. It's like...
play
right,
well, like, you're Joel Embiid. Like,
it's like the Packers drafting Jordan Love when Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, it's like, just it's we're just gonna plant the seed back there, you know? Like,
I think that's a great way to.
You're not in trouble yet, but you might be soon.
I think that's a pretty great way to frame it. As far as like maybe some of the other lottery guys, I think a couple interesting names. I looked at your most recent board today and I saw this guy in your 30s, so maybe you'll have some thoughts on him. But obviously Asa Newell at Georgia has been having a very good season so far. I graduated from Georgia. I guess I'm supposed to have like a stake in this guy's success. Seems on paper to fit a lot of what Philly needs, like big physical forward center combo who can crush the boards, finish plays around the rim. In theory, he can maybe shoot in the future. It hasn't really happened at UGA yet, but like you said, college shooting isn't really the end-all be-all. Any thought? I clearly, you don't think he should be like the number six pick, but any thoughts on him as a fit in Philly?
I think it would be fine, but I was thinking about this last night as I was watching the Notre Dame game, and I love a lot of Georgia's guys. Like, I love Blue Kane and Silas Demery. Deshae Montgomery is cool, but like I just like do not understand the lottery thing with Newell in this class. Like, 6 foot, 6'10, 6'11 ish, like, physical tools really impressive, but I don't think they're special. Like, he's a very good athlete, and I think he can win with his athleticism, has a bunch of dunks already, like, really great rebounder, but I just don't know what his NBA skill is. Like you said, the shooting, which can get better, but his volume has always been really low. He takes less than 5 threes per 100, shoots less than 63% at the free throw line. Shockingly, doesn't get to the free throw line as much as you'd want. Like, a solid decision maker, but doesn't really have any high-level passing chops. And like a good defender, but I think, like I kind of said, is below the level of physical tools where you can just like draft the guy and be like, we're going to turn you into an elite defender because of your tools. Like, that's Malawash. Like Malawash is a guy who's like, based on how you move around the court, like, this can be a star defender. Newell, like, I think can be a good defender, but just like, seems like at his best, like a garden variety 3-and-D 4. And I'm like, maybe I'm missing something. Like, this is who he was at Montverde. This is who he was in AAU. Always been like a really solid defensive player who crashes the boards, makes smart decisions. And like, there's certainly value in that, no doubt. But I just think in a really strong draft in the lottery, especially when there's so many other interesting big man bets with maybe not as quote unquote safe to like just make the league, but I think have a lot more interesting stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like maybe I'm just like missing something with him because I do have a lot of scout friends who like him a lot more than I do. But I just don't really see it with him as like a high lottery or as like a lottery pick at this point in the season.
Yeah, he's probably a guy who would be more interesting to talk about if Philly could have like a mid first round pick.
Yeah, I think that would be definitely more.
Yeah, I like the fit stuff. I think he does check a lot of boxes that Philly needs kind of out of that front court spot next to Joel that they've struggled to fill with some of the smaller guys that Morey has signed. But yeah, I tend to agree that he's probably not like a top five guy for me. I think Liam McNeely at UConn is maybe more interesting, like just in terms of fit. That's like just an obvious fit next to Joel. They've always done well when they've put as much shooting as possible around Embiid. That's one thing that McNeely does very, very well. Playing at UConn, I assume, is just going to help him. It's helped a lot of the other UConn guys translate to the NBA. That's just a good system to play in. Knows his stuff in terms of working off the ball. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I think McNeely makes a lot of sense. Another guy who I'm like probably not wanting to take in the high lottery, but I do think like late lottery, mid first round, totally reasonable to take a guy like McNeely, who maybe isn't like the most special player in the world, but 6'7", excellent off ball shooter, smart player, makes good decisions, fine enough on defense. Like again, not someone who's ever going to be a world-beating star, but if the Sixers are in a position where they're like, we just want a guy who we know can be a 3-and-D wing on his rookie contract, I think McNeely's pretty likely to hit those benchmarks. The main things for him to keep working, just like his driving and some of like the non 3-point offense is kind of worrying. Like the fact that I haven't watched his recent game against Baylor. I believe he had a good game against Baylor the other night that I haven't seen yet, but has had like some pretty notable athletic struggles early in the season against some pretty bad teams, shooting under 54% at the rim, which is really low, and just doesn't give you much outside of the shooting. And he's a pretty good free throw drawer, has always been a good foul drawer, which matters because he's a great free throw shooter. But I do think he makes sense like pretty much anywhere in that late lottery mid first round range. You want a guy who's going to play in the league for 10 years, take a bunch of threes, run off movement a little bit. I don't know if he's ever going to be a great defender just because he's not necessarily like the twitchiest or most fluid mover in the world, but he's smart. He's like well-positioned. Yeah, not a crazy passer, but makes smart enough decisions. So yeah, I think that would be a very solid one where I think maybe similar to Newell, like I don't really know if there's a ceiling, but what he does is probably more valuable to the Sixers. So like adding another tall shooting wing, like can really never go. Like it's hard to go wrong with those types.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. All right, I'm going to throw a couple quick things here at you that are not on the agenda I sent you, but cool. just get your thoughts. One, if all the realistic teams, what do you think is like? I don't know how I want to frame this, like. Best is maybe a weird way to frame it, but like the most entertaining Cooper Flagg spot of the teams that are in that mix. Like, where do you kind of want him to end up? Obviously, like if OKC lucks into the number one pick somehow, yeah, I think that's everyone's answer, but maybe taking OKC and Philly out of the equation.
I was going to say, I feel like we can just like in kind of a different, like, I think it would be fascinating to see a team like, I doubt OKC, but like, Philly or even like New Orleans end up with him, mm-hmm. just like you know, these two teams that are just like abnormal high lottery situations, right?
Yeah.
But in terms of like the teams that suck and are going to stink for the rest of you know time or whatever, I think the ones that really intrigue me are Charlotte and Toronto. Charlotte, I just think pairing a high level wing with LaMelo and Brandon Miller just sounds incredible. Yeah. I think the idea of Cooper playing off LaMelo and playing off of Miller, getting easy shots and also creating easier shots for them just sounds like an absolute dream. Like the Hornets have been really like, who's the last good wing the Hornets had? I don't know. It's been a minute since the Hornets have like maybe Gordon Hayward. If he was fine.
Yeah.
But it's been a minute since the Hornets have had a good wing, a really stellar defensive player. And, like, theoretically, I think could make an awesome front court with Mark Williams, but who knows with that guy. Like, he could be, like, he feels like another, like, Time Lord type situation where it's just, like, maybe you get 30 games out of him if you're lucky, which is a shame because I think he was quite intriguing when he played early in his career. And then Toronto, I just think, like, the combination of him and Scotty would be unbelievably cool. As like two massive jumbo skilled forwards, both excellent defensive players. Like, you could really do a lot of shit with that. And I think Masai would be very into that too. It's just like gigantic rangy wings who are both athletic, both can pass, both can, like, you know, ideally assuming Cooper develops how we think, can, you know, create and shoot. Like, so yeah, I think those two would be my two favorite ones. I think Washington would also be interesting just because they're building a pretty solid foundation, I think, with their picks this year and just how they're very much committing to the tank, which I think is noteworthy. You know, they probably got to get Kyle Kuzma out of there, but yeah, I think those are the most interesting situations. And I would love Cooper Flagg to land on my Pacers, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I was going to throw out Washington. I think, like, between Sar, Koulibaly, and Flagg, that defense would be pretty insane pretty quickly. I think, obviously, like, the Spurs maybe should also be thrown into, like, it's unclear how actually good they're going to be this year. I think it might be hard to really tank with Wimby, but
yeah,
good chance Spurs are a lottery team, so anything can happen. That would obviously be a lot of fun.
That would be absurd.
It would be pretty insane. But, I mean, that's kind of like the Spurs' luck. They kind of luck into these things.
Yeah, they do.
One more thing, Sixers related. I've always been very high on Ricky Council. I can't remember if you were from back in the day. But what are your thoughts on his ceiling? He's played really well these past couple games. Now that he's getting some run with guys hurt, just seems like a guy who should be playing more. What are your thoughts kind of on his ceiling as a role player in Philly?
I was quite high on Council. I thought he was a first-round guy. I thought it was crazy that he went undrafted. This definitely disappointed that he hasn't really been a factor this year. Like, he just hasn't played that much, right? Like, he just hasn't been a huge part of the rotation. He had a good game against Detroit, like, last week, I think.
Yeah.
I remember where he had some points. But, yeah, I think Council was really interesting last year. I think he shot the ball well, like, really dynamic athlete who flashes some real self-creation chops, like, can handle the ball, create space off the dribble. Not a super willing passer, but I think he's a very skilled passer. And then defensively, you see his athleticism shine on that end as well. But I really like Council. I don't know exactly what's going on with him there. Like, you're more tapped into that situation than I would be, but I think Council is like a wing creating, like a creator wing role player who hopefully is, you know, shooting the ball. I know I'm looking at it right now, shooting like 26% from three this year, but the volume, I know, I mean, the sample is so small, and he shot 38% last year, has like been a good shooter in the past. So I really like Ricky Council. At least like, you know, haven't paid much attention to what he's done this year, but I really liked him coming out. I thought as a rookie, he did some interesting things. And I would definitely be interested in, I think he's a guy who's worth building and worth developing, for sure.
Yeah, no, I'm in the same boat. I think I had him somewhere in the low 20s on my board.
I
was with you.
Similar range. I thought he was awesome. Yeah.
You know, the Turk Smith thing didn't work out, but that was another guy who should not have gone undrafted, who Daryl kind of lucked into.
They got both my favorite UDFAs that year.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing Daryl Morey has done extremely well. I think you can quibble with the success of some of these bigger swings, but he tends to nail the draft pretty much every year. I mean, like, Tyrese and McCain are obviously the standouts, but he's been very good at finding talent really at any level of the draft. So yeah, like you said, I mean, 17 points, pardon me, in 27 minutes against Detroit the other day. Hasn't really gotten too much playing time since then. Played 18 minutes against Orlando, I believe, the other night. scored 9 points on 6 shots.
Come on, Nick Nurse.
Yeah. Like, especially this season when there's like nothing to lose, where this team just has mostly sucked across the board. They clearly need athleticism. Like, Council's a freak athlete, can get downhill, can play really good defense, like you said. Like, it just seems like the perfect time to see what he can do, especially when he does stuff every time you put him in the game. I'm very high on Ricky Council. Hopefully he'll get some more playing time here moving forward. This Sixers team really needs to lean into like their athleticism, what little of it that they do have. Obviously with Gershon Yabusele having a big year, KJ Martin's played very well lately, has maybe earned a starting spot. Like, Council seems like the guy who should be getting minutes, but
for sure.
We'll see.
For sure. I definitely agree and would like to see him play at some point in the near future.
Yeah, cool. Well, Ben, thanks again for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. It's been a delight. Yeah, it's been a delight talking to you. I would encourage everyone to go follow Ben on Twitter, subscribe to his YouTube page, read all his stuff. He's like one of the best draft writers out there. So do that. Hopefully, I don't know. Hopefully Philly doesn't end up needing to talk about Cooper Flagg all year. I'd like to get Cooper Flagg. Ideally, we're like a winning team.
Either way, you know, there's something to hope for.
There's always something to hope for. I'm a draft guy. I'm ready for it. I enjoyed the tanking years, and I kind of got into the Sixers fandom around the Ben Simmons pick era. So I'm ready for it. But
right, and hey, the Sixers have done, all things considered, I think I'd say I've done quite well in the draft over the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, that's the thing. Again, I think we can trust Daryl Morey to make the right pick if he does end up in that position.
What he does with those picks after, it's a little more questionable.
You know, it's up for debate.
Definitely trust them to make the pick. From there, we don't know. But making the pick, yeah, I think he's certainly proven himself as a competent drafter at the very least.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks again, Ben. To all our listeners, thank you for tuning in. Like, subscribe, follow along, all that fun stuff. We're on Spotify and Apple Podcast, on Twitter at Sixer Sense. I'm on Twitter at KleinNBA, and maybe we'll have the pleasure of having you on down the road, Ben. Especially if we have more draft stuff to talk about. You're going to be the first guy I send a message to. So yeah, appreciate it.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.